One of the toughest challenges for Christians today is to find a good church, a place where the gospel is powerfully preached, where worship is reverent, and the people have a genuine love for one another. Hi, I'm Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, and I invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also have Sunday school classes for all ages, including adults. For more information, visit our website at christurc.org. That's christurc.org.
Direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
Well, as always, we're grateful you take time out of your day to listen to Abounding Grace Radio. We want this to be a blessing to you. We now have the privilege of airing in the Pacific Northwest and in San Diego area and in the Phoenix, Arizona area. And this is a great privilege for us to bring Abounding Grace to these major regions of our country and hope that they are a blessing to the listeners. We would love to hear from you. You can go to our website and email us. You can support us online. Any bit of the program, your support goes to the cost of the program and will be used to continue to bring these radio broadcasts to you. And so we humbly ask for that and ask that you would pray for us, that we would be a blessing, and that the ministry of the good news of Christ and His gospel would go out and that these efforts would be blessed by the Lord. So again, we're thankful for that. And so far, we have experienced wonderful blessing from him. Thank you for all of your letters and encouragement. Again, the web address is agradio.org. Well, if you were with us yesterday, we started a little mini series here on Luke chapter 24, which I have called He Opened Their Eyes. And I wanted to kind of do a post-reflection on the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ that we recently celebrated on Good Friday and the resurrection, Easter, what we call. And this is a wonderful section in Luke 24 to see the real dilemma and challenge that is still very real today in properly understanding the resurrection of Christ and what the cross meant. Here we have two men on the road to Emmaus leaving Jerusalem sad because their expectations, their understandings of why Jesus had to come, what he had to do, they were wrong. And this led to all sorts of problems. So they describe that here. Jesus has come up alongside of them as they are dialoguing along the road. They're working through their problem. And Jesus asks them, "What things are you talking about?" And they tell him about this Jesus, this mighty prophet in word and deed, and how he was crucified by our leaders. And from their perspective, the sense we get from these two men on the road to Emmaus was the way it happened by their own rulers was a mistake. It was completely out of the control of God. This is an Easter tragedy. And you stand back from this and you say, wait a minute. Didn't they know this? And the Lord had been saying all along that the Son of Man, they will scourge him, they will kill him. And the third day, he will rise again over and over. What did these disciples believe? What did they believe about the Old Testament? We know that Luke records that these sayings were hidden from them, that their understandings were not open to them. They did not know the things that were spoken. And so what we have here, what is being shown to us, is what ignorance brings about in those who do not understand why Jesus came and why he had to die and rise again. And this is all recorded for us. The Lord has purposely blinded their eyes to show us the great problem. We were hoping that he was the one who would deliver Israel. We had some glimmer of hope, being that it's the third day, but he's not here. And so we left off yesterday. What did they think about redeeming Israel? What were they looking for in the redemption of Israel? Redemption from sin or political tyranny from Rome? If they didn't understand why Jesus had to die, What were their expectations? Very important question today. What are people's expectations of what the Lord is going to do? To think that they should be under the Romans, this was the one who had finally come. Just like Moses in Egypt, the one who had finally been appointed to deliver Israel from being in bondage to Rome. See the problem? Our leaders took out God's Messiah, who was the one to free us from oppression. To free us, this is Zechariah's prophecy in Luke's gospel, to free us from the hand of our enemies. You see, they misunderstood the mission and purpose of Christ. Jesus dealt with his ignorance all over the place. They wanted to make him king. This is why you want to say to our dear brothers and sisters in dispensationalism, you know, when you say that the Jews rejected Jesus and he went to plan B, actually, they wanted to make him king in John 6. But he wanted nothing to do with them because he knew what was in man. Their belief was artificial. They saw the signs he was doing. They saw him feed 5,000 with a few loaves and they thought, wow, look what this guy can do for us. Moses gave man in the wilderness. Look at the signs he's doing. This is what they wanted from him. Prosperity and national restoration again. Think we have this problem as Christians in the United States. What do we want from God? Restoration, don't we? Restoration from oppression. I fear today it's the same problem that we are celebrating what Jesus accomplished without understanding. And when there's no understanding, all you're looking for are earthly answers to this lingering problem that we're experiencing no real peace on this earth. And that's why when I listen every year to the Pope's Easter addresses, this is the same theme that comes up. It was summarized again this year. He called for world peace, respect for environment, and a diplomatic solution to the crisis on the Korean Peninsula. Previous Pope said, while in heaven all is peace and gladness, alas, it's not so on earth. And they lamented hunger, disease, war, and violence, praying that the light of peace and of human dignity may overcome the darkness of division, hate, and violence. How is Jesus being presented today, dear listener? Is the resurrection of Jesus being presented as a ticket back to health and happiness and prosperity? One of our own political leaders said this, "It's about coming together to solve long-standing problems, to ensure our children will have the same chances, the same hope and freedoms we've had," he said. "These are the blessings we celebrate during the rites of Easter and Passover." Huh? Unbelievable. This guy said, "It's a time to unite in prayer and celebration, to renew traditions, to lift up our spirits and tell others the old stories that remind us of how trials and sufferings can be overcome with courage and resolve." Boy, that's just the mentality in Luke 24. We were hoping that Jesus would buy us back, that he would give it all back, all the glory to Israel. This is really important today. Because what we're seeing is that people easily miss the purpose. They don't understand why Jesus had to come. And what good is it for Jesus to run around showing himself in his resurrected body to those who have no understanding of why he had to go through this? He wasn't out in the Roman Praetorium showing himself. He didn't appear to Caesar. He comes to these two little struggling disciples, knowing they don't understand. He blinds them and is going to open their eyes to give them a true understanding. So important, isn't it? How's he going to do that? Jesus didn't just show himself to them. How were their eyes opened? This is really important. When you misunderstand the purpose of Christ, there will be mass disillusionment. You know why, dear listener? Because the world's not getting better. We're seeing all sorts of things happen right now. We are seeing things escalate on rapid levels. And, you know, just the agendas that are going on, the agendas and the escalation of evil. And you can become really disillusioned in all of this. And when you don't understand when your hopes are tied to earthly aspirations, and you don't understand that through we enter the kingdom through much tribulation, when you don't understand that Jesus said over and over, all of these conflicts, all of these things must come to pass, don't lose heart, do not fear. When you're seeing a society go through a cycle of iniquity like ours is going through, that's what this is. We see this throughout the Old Testament. Societies went through cycles of iniquity, and then God's judgment came. That's what's going on. All this stuff has to come to pass. But if our hopes are tied to earthly restoration, oh, we're setting ourselves up for big disillusionment. And Jesus is dealing with this here. We struggle because we are slow to believe. And that's the problem. How is it remedied? How are our eyes opened? This is what Jesus now does in Luke 24. And this is so glorious. I just love this section in Luke 24. And it'll be a major encouragement to us today. Look what he says in verse 25. And he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Did you see what Jesus just did? He didn't show himself to them. He let them work out their problem. And how does he begin to open their understandings and their eyes? Jesus asked them a question. Don't you understand that this had to happen, that Christ would suffer and enter into his glory? Now remember, they don't know him. Their eyes are blinded. They don't see it's him. And of all the things that Jesus could have done at this point to help them see, what does he do? Interesting, isn't it? He goes back to the Old Testament. And what does he do in the Old Testament? He begins to preach the Old Testament. He interpreted for them what Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, what they were all about. And what were they all about? Him. This is an amazing text. In fact, I suggest that if you are in a church that does not preach the Old Testament, you're not getting the whole counsel of God. It's a sad tragedy that the Old Testament is ignored today. This is one of the most important passages to teach us how the Lord opens up hearts and saves. Isn't it something that the very first thing he does after the resurrection is preach the gospel of him from the Old Testament, of Jesus Christ from the Old Testament? He looks at the Old Testament and he begins to go through the stories. He begins to go through the doctrines. He begins to go through the events and the teachings and the commands. And he says, "See, all of it spoke of me." When you have no real understanding of the Bible, how do you look at the Bible? I'll tell you, when you don't have understanding, when you're in darkness and ignorance, you view the Bible as a bunch of nice stories for how you can become a very good and moral person, to get your life together, to better yourself. You know what Paul would later say about the Jews? Every time they read the Old Testament, a veil lies over their hearts when Moses is read. They can't see that Moses was about Jesus. And Paul says, when you come to Christ, the veil comes down. It's all about Jesus Christ. So Jesus here is expounding that. Can you imagine standing there and listening to him? They don't even know it's him. The whole Old Testament, for the first time, is finally being preached and opened up. And they're seeing that God was telling from the beginning when he covered Adam. Not with the fig leaves that he tried to cover himself with, but by shedding blood and covering him with skins, he was speaking of the cross. When he made the promise of the seed, he was speaking of Christ. That God had planned from the beginning and declared that in the fullness of time, he would send his son who would die on the cross. Not to redeem us for earthly greatness, but to suffer in our place the wrath of God to forgive us all of our sins and secure for us the certainty of the hope of glory in the new heavens and the new earth where righteousness shall dwell. You see what begins to happen? When you go back to the Old Testament, blinders are removed. You see that God was telling us the story of redemption, the story of the cross, the story of the work of his son over and over. You come to stories like Joseph, a man with a glorious robe, stripped of his clothing, sold by his brothers, thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, becomes a servant, and then is exalted to the right hand of Pharaoh, by whom his brothers are saved. That's the story of Christ. Abraham and his son Isaac carrying the wood, riding on a donkey, heading up to Mount Moriah, the very place where the temple would later be built, all foreshadowing that one day God's son would go, carrying the wood on his back, and facing that wrath would atone for our sins. A sacrificial system set up, the tabernacle, the perfect Passover lamb, all of this speaking of Christ. After Pentecost, this Emmaus event meant so much to the apostles. The very first sermon in Acts that brought about the salvation of 3,000 souls, by the way, an instant megachurch. The striking phenomenon of that sermon is that it was nothing like the sermons we know today. And we wonder where the power is, right? That sermon was a stringing together of a series of Old Testament passages simply with the goal of showing how the Old Testament passages spoke of Jesus and how they now find fulfillment in history through his glorious person and work. That's what the text is showing you. How does knowledge become understanding? And here we're being shown how. This is so beautiful of what happens here. In verse 28, we read that as Jesus is on the road speaking and preaching the gospel from the Old Testament, they drew near to the village where they're going. And Jesus indicated that he would have gone further. That's strange. The word gives a sense that he was acting like he was going to leave them. He purposely gave the appearance he was done. Jesus was testing them. The question is, what did the preaching really do to them? Here's where we see when the power of the resurrected Lord is breaking through blindness. Verse 29 says, "But they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.'" The word here means to employ by force. Don't leave us. We need you to stay with us. What's happening in them? They say, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us?" As Jesus was preaching, it's an interesting choice of words. They say, "Our hearts were set on fire by his word." Do you know that's the same phenomenon Jeremiah described when the word of God got in his heart? It was like a burning fire. You know what had just happened to the men on the road to Emmaus? The word had set their hearts ablaze, and they were hungering and thirsting for more. Why? Because for the first time they were seeing. Let me just say, that's when you know something's happening, dear listener. When the word of God has gotten into you, what does it do? It translates to a burning heart and a desire to hear God's word, a desire to want to be in church. This is what I want to say to people today. Say, "We don't need the church. We can do our own thing." I say, have you listened to the scripture? Something's wrong with your heart. When the word gets in there and it starts burning, you have got to come and hear the word preached. Give me every opportunity to hear it, because those are the words of life. Where else are we going to go? When did the eyes open? When did the disciples' eyes open here in Luke 24? Well, this is verse 30. "When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight." He took the bread, blessed, broke it, and gave it to them. Do you know what that is? dear listener, it's the same formula for the institution of the Lord's Supper. It's really important. The supper is a proclamation of his death. They had just celebrated this. And now, I think, after the ministry of the word and the sacrament, their eyes were open. Just glorious. When they ate the bread, when they drank the cup, they proclaimed his death. And boom, their eyes are opened and he vanishes. How did he open their eyes? How does the Lord open eyes today? It's through a word and sacrament ministry. This is what the Reformation was all about. It was a return to the preaching of the word and the right administration of the Lord's Supper. These are called means of grace. These are God's gifts to us. Finally, these men saw. Jesus was the one promised throughout history who would come. He had to die. They saw that. Why didn't they see that before? He had to die. Our sins had rendered us so helpless and under the just wrath of God. It was always God's plan to do this. And the resurrection was a guarantee for us that he accomplished it, that he overcame death, that God's wrath was satisfied, as we share in that victory. That message, when it dominates your understanding, changes everything, dear listener. Verse 46 tells us, then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. It all had to happen for the purpose that his people would be saved, repent of their sins, turn and receive his forgiveness. And the Lord is saying, as that is preached, I'm going to open eyes. As they feed on the means of grace, as they commune at the Lord's table, eyes are going to be opened. As the word of the gospel is preached, as the whole counsel of God is brought to bear, the Old Testament and the New, as that food is given, as the meat of God's word is being handed to the people, understandings are going to be opened. And people will turn from their own life of sin and rebellion, and they will come to Christ. They will come to him. And Jesus just said, I will forgive them. That is the power of Christ's resurrection. And you see, the joy filled these two on the road to Emmaus. They heard the truth, their understandings were opened, and they got it. Their sorrow was turned to joy as they saw the Lord Jesus Christ. As they would go in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit to come upon them, this message of gospel peace is what they would take to the ends of the earth. I want us to think about how important the ministry of the gospel is today. You know, we could be doing a lot of different things, and people have. It's sad today that the church has become so entertainment-driven, even though the Apostle Paul warned that the times would come when people would turn their ears away from the truth, and because they have itching ears, they will heap for themselves teachers. Contrary to all that, what was the command the Apostle gave to his servants, the Lord's servants who were preachers? Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and patience, because this time is coming. Preach the gospel. Preach the message of Christ and him crucified. I know it's foolishness. I know it doesn't seem to have power. But when the pastor faithfully stands up, exposits the Bible, opens the Old Testament, labors to show that Jesus is the fulfillment of all that the law and the prophets spoke about, labors to show his glorious person and work, refuses the inclinations to entertain and tell his own personal story, but tells the story of God's beloved son, you know what God does? He takes that very foolish means, and by his powerful Holy Spirit, he opens people's hearts to understand it. We need confidence again in the Word of God. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as this world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Christ is risen. Hear his word. Believe his word. Come under that word. These are the words of life. Your heart will begin to burn within you, and you'll never want to leave that. We need that again today more than ever. And if I had Abounding Grace, and the Abounding Grace radio and ministry can help in some way, in a little way, to encourage that, we're the most blessed people on earth. We hope that you have the ears to hear. We hope that the Lord has opened your hearts wide to hear his gospel. He has promised that all who hear and believe will enter into that glory. Oh, dear listener, believe this powerful word of God's beloved Son. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. We are a listener-supported program, and we humbly ask both for your prayerful and your financial support. You can go to our website at agradio.org to learn more about who we are and what we believe. Again, that web address is agradio.org. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you. The Escondido United Reformed Church is a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, the preaching pastor here at the Escondido United Reformed Church. We're thankful to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you and would like to invite you to our Sunday morning worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. every Sunday. Visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. 1864 North Broadway is the address. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio.